Good morning, everyone. So I am Charles, like Boren just said, and just, you know what, I'm not going to take forever with this because Boren told me I only have 2 hours, so I can't introduce myself for too long. But I'm Charles, I'm 26 years old, I've been here part of this congregation for almost 6 years now, so it's been an awesome time, and I love getting to know a lot of you, and those of you I don't know yet, I'm super excited to get to know more of you. But I'm not going to tell you guys too much about myself because you'll hear some of my stories this morning. But just a heads up before we go a little bit further. Last night we had a braai, and Sue's here somewhere. Sue gave me really, really good advice last night. So she heard I was sharing this morning, and decided that she's going to give me some pointers in terms of what to do and what not to do. So if anything goes bad, like, I am following her advice, but the advice she gave me was, the first one was, do not mess up, okay? She told me, do not mess up. So my first plan for this morning will be not to mess up. The second one was to keep it short and sweet. So I'm going to try and keep it short and sweet this morning. Just look at how excited you guys are for that one. And the last one would be to talk from experience and to tell my own story. So I'm going to do that one as well. There's some other advice that I decided to not take too seriously that I won't share with you guys this morning. I loved what Boren picked up in this at the end of worship this morning, the very thing of what holy means and the fact that we are set apart. And I actually want to, before I go anywhere else, just to build on that, say, each one of us are set apart for a specific purpose, for a specific plan. Like every single one in this room, I see a lot of the children isn't here right now. That's probably why it's a little bit more quiet. But even the youngest of us, all the way through to the oldest here this morning, every single one of us have been set apart for a purpose. And God's got a plan for your life. There's things that He wants you to walk in. And I'm hoping this morning to just help us to do that well, and to give a couple of pointers for us how to set ourselves up to walk in all that God's got for us. Because, I mean, like, who of us would not want to walk in all that God has for us? I'm the first to say that. I want all of it. Like, and if Nate doesn't want all of it, I'll take some of his as well, because I want as much as I can. So even on that note, the title of my preach, I'm going to give some credit to Jake. He actually helped me to get a title. So last night I told him what I thought my title was supposed to be. He's like, oh, change it. So my title this morning is In It to Win It. And so if you make notes, In It to Win It, because we're supposed to be in it to win it. And I'm really excited for what I believe God wants to do this morning. As I was praying during the week and this morning trying to find God, I really believe that He wants to impact our lives. He wants to highlight areas to each one of us this morning of where we can change things to do this thing better, to run better, to live better. And I'm actually thinking, I think He's going to come and strengthen us by His Spirit this morning so that we can run this race well. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to jump straight into it. Oh, Father God, we love You. I love You, Lord. And this morning, I want to pray and ask You, Lord, would You come right now by Your Spirit, and would You come and do a work in each one of our lives, God, as we open our hearts and we say, God, we want to take hold of all that You've put us here for. We want to run in all that You've got for us. This morning, we want to pray that You come by Your Spirit and do a work in us, God, that would actually help us to leave here walking in more of You, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'm going to start off with a scripture, and the first verse I want us to look at is in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27. And it says this, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. What, I don't even know what that word means, but it's probably a perishable prize, something that will go away. But we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And I love this verse. It speaks about that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives a prize. And Paul actually encourages us here to run this race in a way that you might win that prize. And I was to think this morning, what does that look like? What does it look like to run like the guy that runs to win the prize? Does that mean you rock up at the starting line and just go full send, like send it, run as hard as you can and hope you're going to get it? Or is there more to running this race and just rocking up at the starting line one day and hoping you're going to win the prize? So with that, I want to tell you guys a story. I love telling stories, and I think it helps you guys to get to know me a little bit more, and it's also going to help some of my points this morning. But a couple of years ago, yes, it was a long time, probably about 6 years ago, just over 6 years ago, I had a braai with some of my friends one night. And to give you some context, the two friends that I was braaiing with, the two of them just finished a big race. It was the Ironman. And you know how people who do like these radical races like marathons or Ironmans, all this stuff, they like to talk about it. So you'll hear stuff, if you're around them, you'll hear stuff like, oh, yes, my body is so sore. And they'll like hint at you asking, okay, cool, what's happening? So I was braaiing with these two people. And as I'm at this braai, they spoke about the Ironman they just did that previous Sunday. They're like, yes, bro, how gnarly was that race? And they're starting to talk all about, they're going all this detail of how the atmosphere was and how hard the race was and how they felt after the race, because obviously, you know, they just need to tell people that they did this race. So I'm standing there, like, apart from playing touches on a Sunday, I don't do exercise. I just play touches on a Sunday, but I don't exercise apart from that. But I like to win, so... So then what happened is, at the back end of this, they started talking about how they're planning on doing the Cape Town Marathon 4 months later. And I said, you know what, guys, I know I'm not a runner. I know you guys are super fit, but I'll beat you guys both. Both of you guys, give me 4 months, I'll beat both of you. So that night, they decided they're going to take the opportunity to make the best of my impulsive nature. And we made a bet that night, going towards this race. So I made a bet with these two guys saying, okay, in 4 months time, I'm going to beat you guys in this marathon. And then I said, okay, cool, I'm going to take this serious. So that night after the braai, I went to my phone and my computer and everything. I tried to enter this race, and there was one problem. I was a little bit too young to do the race, so I couldn't enter. So I went to one of the guys that I was staying with. I said, damn, bro, like, come do this race with us. But I knew he wasn't going to do it. He actually ended up doing it with us, but I knew he wasn't going to do it. I'm like, oh, and he said, no, never. You made it. Like, I'm never going to do this with you. Okay, cool. But I've got an idea for you. Enter the race. Like, we enter you in the race, and I'll run it for you. So, like, you would have ran a marathon, because on black and white, you would have done it. And I did it for you. I'm going to help you to do this. So that night, I entered the race. The next week, I started training, and I started taking my training serious, like very serious. I'm like, I'm not going to lose to these guys. They're much fitter than me, so I need every single thing I can get to beat these guys at this race. So I went onto the internet, and I tried to get every single bit of information I can in terms of how to train well, how to recover well, how to eat well. I was 19 years old. I pretty much lived on KFC. But the next day, I stopped eating KFC. I stopped eating all fast food. I started taking my sleep serious. I didn't sleep much better, but I'm like, I'm going to try my best to sleep well, because you recover well. Like, I'm going to tell you guys, I wrote probably the best training plan, the most balanced, with all the right trainings on the right days to make sure I get the most out of this in the next 4 months. I went as far, and some of you might laugh, and like, I know the guys that know what they're talking about, like a Brendan. You see, we'd probably say to me, that didn't even help you. But I even slept on the ground, because I read somewhere that if you sleep on a hard surface on the ground, it's better for recovery. So every single night before going to bed, I would go next to my bed, I'd put my duvet on the floor, and I'd get my blanket, and I'll sleep on my duvet on the floor, because apparently this was good for you. But I did everything that I had to do to get the edge on these other guys. And the reason why I did this, because I wanted to make sure that every single thing I do, I do to make sure I'm going to win these guys in that race. And everything that I did up until that point in my life that worked against this goal, I tried to eliminate. I stopped eating KFC. I stopped all these things just so that I could win the race. And I think for us this morning, there's a lot of that that we need to do in our lives. And I think I'm speaking to all of us. I think every single one of us have some things in our lives that we are doing that might slow us down, that might actually stop us from running in all that God has for us. I want to look at another verse. Next verse is Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. And the reason why I want to point this out after this point, it says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And here there's two parts that I like to point out in this verse. The first part is, it says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. There's stuff that we need to lay down in order for us to run fast. But secondly, then we have to pick up stuff. There's a race that we have to run with endurance. And I said Brendan knows what he's talking about. And I think Brendan's probably, like, just based on looking at who I know in this congregation, probably the fittest and fastest runner here this morning. And if we had to run a race right now, Brendan would absolutely smash me. He'd, like, destroy me. But Brendan, if you had to do it with, like, a weighted harness, let's say I give you 10 kgs to run with, do you think you'll still beat me in a 5K with 10 kgs? 20 kgs? 50 kgs? So eventually, like, he probably will still beat me with 10 kgs and a weighted vest. But eventually, the more weight we put on him, eventually it's going to get to a point where even myself, who's not very fit at this moment, will beat him because of what he's running with. And some of us might be running with less weights, and we might not be slow and as slow. Some of us might be stronger in how we do, but there's stuff in our lives that this morning I want us to think about, to take out. And I don't know what that is for each one of you. For many of us, it might be different. Some of us might be watching too many Netflix series, or some of us might be spending too much time on your phone and swiping on Instagram, or some of us might be stuck in patterns of sin that is causing us to not run this well. Or for others of us, it might just be you're not doing the right training, you're not putting in the right things. And this morning, each one of us is at a different space for this. But I think God wants to deal with all of us in these different areas. The next verse I want us to look at is 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 to 4. Get perfect. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. And there's three things I want to look at this. The first one would be the soldier. A soldier does not get distracted by the small things that's happening in life. They enlisted into the army because they're going to war, and their only focus in that time is the mission at hand. They don't get distracted by the other things. The athlete needs to compete according to the rules. And it's likewise for us. There's no shortcuts. There's no miracle potion that we can drink to come out like Captain America and bam, like, we have to compete by the rules. There's certain things we have to do and certain things we can't do in order for us to do this well. And then the last one is the farmer that puts in the work is the one that receives the fruit. And as you, likewise like this, if you're the one that's going to say, no, I'm going to put in the training. I'm going to make sure I take out everything in my life that is slowing me down. And I'm going to replace that with the right disciplines that will help me to do well. The fruit of that would be experiencing life in ways we haven't before. The reward of that would far outweigh whatever you laying down, whatever you giving up. The reward of that would be Jesus and more of him in the end of the day. I want us to look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 to 8. Do you have that for me later on? Awesome. For I, and this is Paul speaking, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I want to ask us this morning, if you sitting here, and I hope if I can give you the right answer ahead of the time, I think it should be all of us. But who of you sitting here this morning would love to get to the end of their lives, being able to write what say to others what Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I've ran my race. Like knowing you have kept the faith and did everything that God wants of you. Like, is there anyone here, or is it just me that says, like, okay, so we've got some people here. I'm stoked. I saw a lot of hands. I'm going to keep you guys. I saw the hands. I'm going to keep you guys do that. I'm going to remind you guys next week. But if that's you, and I want you guys to take this seriously this morning, to actually take a moment and ask God, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you come and show me what that looks like? Holy Spirit, would you help me so that I could be someone that lives a life that in 20 years' time, in 50 years' time, however old you are, that I can get to the end of my life saying, you know, I have fought the fight. I've ran my race. I've done anything and everything that God has asked me to do. And you guys still all good? I don't think I won't be too long, but there's a couple of verses I still want to look at. The next one is in Matthew 6, verse 25 to 33. And I'm going to read through all of this and just highlight a few things. And I think most of us should know this. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put in. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, has added a single hour to his span? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious about saying what we will eat or what we will drink. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. And this is the verse I want to focus on. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I think here, what I read into this is Jesus is speaking here about a life where we prioritize doing what would please God, doing the things that God wants us to do over the things that firstly would benefit us, and not to live our lives according to the way of life. Okay, what do I need? What do I want? And how can I put all these things into my life first and then look towards God and try to give him what's left? But it's actually the opposite way. It's building our life in a way of, God, what do you want? How can I live my life in a way where I put your plans, your desires, and what you want before I put any of these things into my life. And as we build this way, God will look after us as well. You might be sitting here today thinking, Chort, like, I hear what you're saying, but why would I want to do this? And if you were sitting here asking that question, why would I want to do this? Like, it's a great question because I did plan on answering that question this morning. I want to look at a verse and then actually use that as the answer. And the verse is in John 6, verse 66 to 68. And just to give you some context about what happened here, is just before this, Jesus gave a preach, and what he said actually offended a lot of people. He actually said to the people that was there that if you do not eat my body and if you don't drink my blood, you can't be part of me. And this was a little bit too radical for most people that heard, and people got offended and people left. And after all of this happened, Jesus said this. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And I think for us, it's the same. It's Jesus has the words of life. In Jesus, we will experience more life. And life in a manner that will satisfy us way more than doing any of these things. Whether it's running after being as successful as you can, you'll get to a measure of success. You'll win your races, you'll get your promotion, you'll get your money, and you'll still end up sitting there and thinking, you know, this isn't enough. Whatever that might be for you, it will never, ever satisfy. Because the only thing that can feed us in a way that satisfies, the only thing where we can find life is in Jesus. And like Peter said, Jesus, you've got the words of life. I want to tell you guys today, if you lay down things in your life that is actually slowing you down in this race, if you say, you know what, I'm watching way too much series, I'm going to cut that out and replace it with reading the word. Or, you know, John had a good preach about prayer a couple of months ago, and I know a lot of us have been waking up early mornings. If you had to say, you know, I need to sacrifice some of my sleep to wake up earlier to pray, I want to tell you guys today, whatever that is for you, whatever you lay down, whatever you sacrifice, whatever you stop doing, the reward of that would far outweigh whatever you're giving up. Yeah, so the Bible also speaks in Timothy about while bodily exercise of some value, like it is of some value, rather train yourself for godliness, because that will carry fruit in this life and the life that is to come. And I want us to land with a couple of disciplines I want us to build into our lives. Like I had to build my own race program for my marathon, for my race, so that I could do this so effectively. There's a couple of things that I felt God highlight, and this isn't the blueprint. If you do this, like, you're going to be sorted out. There's a couple of things I felt in this week that God was highlighting to me in asking us to build these things into our lives. And as we build this into our life, I think how we look in a couple of months will be radically different. The way we run would be completely different to what we have been. So if you're one of those people that said, you know what, I want to be like Paul in a couple of years that says, I've ran my race, like, I think you have to build these disciplines into your life. So it'll be a good idea. And the first one is prayer. Something that stands out for me about prayer, I know John preached about prayer, and he did a great job of that. So I'm not going to do a whole preach on prayer, but one quick nugget that stood out for me about the idea of prayer is we look in the Bible, well, I look in the Bible and I see Jesus like preaching to thousands of people, and he's preaching so long that eventually like they need to figure out how we're going to feed these people. So I don't even know, I'm struggling to get people's attention for 5 minutes. Like, he spoke for so long that they had to give people food. So I always think like, yes, Jesus must have been a great preacher, and I would love for Jesus to have taught me how to pray, well, to preach, because he's good at it. Where you see the disciples, the guys that lived with him, that saw his life every single day. And you see them coming to Jesus. And they say to Jesus, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Not teach us how to preach or teach us how to do miracles, or teach us how to do all these things. They come to him and they say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And it just shows to me how important the people that saw Jesus realized how important prayer is. And I want to encourage you, ask Jesus, Jesus, teach me how to pray. And like, I know many of us was woken up after John preached, but ask God, God, I want to wake up early in the mornings and I want to pray. Teach me how to pray. And I believe as we learn how to pray, as we grow this muscle, the fruit of that would be, it'll be insane. So I'm going to encourage you guys, do it. Ask him to teach us how to pray and to build prayer into your daily life. A second one is, I know Jake preached about this a couple of weeks ago, but the Word of God. There's a scripture in the Bible where it says, man should not live by bread alone, but every single word that comes from God. And this right here, this is the Word of God. Like, this is the Word that Jesus gave us. I'm going to tell you guys today, as much as I had to cut out KFC of my life and replace that with healthy food, I'm going to say this morning that you cannot be a healthy Christian if you live on the daily verse. Like, a verse a day, it's not gonna build into your life to a point where you're gonna reflect healthily. I can't as someone that's trying to train seriously for a sport, like, look at Nate, like, and ask his wife and ask his parents how much he eats. Like, you can't do that on a little snack every morning or half a piece of bread in the morning. You need to be in the Word. You need to, every day, God, I know this is your Word. Would you speak to me today? God, I'm trusting you that I'd find you in this. Holy Spirit, would you make this Word come alive to me? Would you come and feed me as I read your Word? And we need to be a people that spend time in the Word of God. And the last discipline that I want to look at is one that I think a lot of us might not like as much as everyone else, but I believe I don't think there's a single person in this room that's got the ability to walk in all that God has for them if they don't implement fasting in their life. And I'm actually feeling that God wants each one of us to start introducing fasting in our lives. Whether it's, you know what, God, on Monday morning, I'm going to skip one meal. Or, you know what, I know some people in the church is fasting on Thursdays. I'm going to fast with them on Thursdays. Or whatever that looks like for you, whatever. But I want to encourage you, fast. I think the amount of growth that each one of us will receive as we start building the discipline of fasting in our life, it's going to be radical. And I really do not think, there's stuff that happened, and I think John's got a way better understanding of this than me, but there's stuff that happens in the spirit when we start fasting that I can't understand, that I don't even know what's happening, but because I know that happens, I 100% believe that you cannot walk in all that God has for you if you don't implement that into your life. So it's easy. Three disciplines that I want us to think about, three disciplines I want us to build into our lives after we took the things that is slowing us down out. It's praying, the Word of God, and fasting. If we can build these things into our lives, I think we will grow. We'll grow quite quickly, and we'll start running our races a lot better. We'll run our race like the athlete that is running to win the prize. Yeah, I think, as I said, the title of my preach is In It to Win It. And if you're here this morning, and I believe God wants to take each one of us into way more of Him than we've ever walked in before. Like, He wants us to become a people that is in it to win it. And if you're here this morning and you say, oh, you know what, as you were talking, God showed me areas of my life that I need to change. You know what, I want to be someone that runs my race as someone that's running to win the prize. I want to be in it to win it. I want to encourage you this morning. Respond to God. Deal with whatever God is asking you to deal with. Implement whatever He's asking you to implement. And as we do these things, as we change, that's the moment where the growth will come from.
So all of us want to know, did he win that race? Am I right, eh? Did you win the race? Don't lie.
I did win the people that I ran against. By 30 minutes.
We were all sitting there like, Brie, did you win that race? You know, like, can you please just tell us? So, it is, well done, Chartier. Yeah, that's really, really good. And I think it's really a word for us just to consider this morning as we look at our lives and as we're going into the next season. And just two things that I want to highlight for us. And I'd love for us to pray and just hear, just to actually cement something in our hearts. The one thing he said is, lay aside every weight. And as he was praying, I said, Lord, what are those weights that so easily, the Bible says it actually clings to us quite easily. And it is, he touched on that, anxieties, the stresses of life, you know, troublesome things, things that happen, you know, the things that, the burdens we carry. And I felt this morning that as we come, like we did this morning in worship, and said, God, I want to give you those things. I feel, and it's almost like by faith we go, God, I trust you this morning that as I lay these weights aside, that I can run my race, then that would you have called me for. And the other thing is the sin. Sin that creeps into our lives. And sin is sneaky. Sin is very sneaky. It's just a little thing, you know, for us as men, like it's something you watch quickly and then it goes down a slippery slope. For ladies, sometimes it's maybe, I'm not going to put sin in our minds, but you know what I mean? That it comes in very sneaky. And even as he was preaching, I want us to this morning, can we focus on those two things? And just go this morning, God, as a people, we want to this morning lay aside the weights and we want to so come to you and just and say, Lord, will you take away our sin? So, and I don't want to even get the musos up. I felt like just for us this morning, can we stand? And as we consider these two things, and you know what, as Stuart was saying, what is that prize? Have you ever wondered, run in such a way that you win the prize, the Bible speaks? What is that prize? The prize is eternity. The prize is being with Jesus for the rest of our lives. It's going to heaven. So let's close our eyes. Maybe before I get to us as Christians, this morning if you hear this, my sense is, that God is already speaking to our hearts. But I wonder this morning, if you've never, I don't know everybody here, but if you've never, ever given your heart to Jesus and said, God, I actually want to surrender my heart to you. I'm a sinner. I'm here this morning. I almost don't even know how I got here, but like this morning, Lord, I want to give my heart to you. I've never accepted you into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. I look at these people and I can see they've got something I really want, Lord. And the Bible does say that we're all born sinners. Not one of us, not one of us by anything that we've done deserves eternity with Jesus. But Jesus died on the cross for your sin. And no matter what that sin is, he loves you. He created you like we heard this morning. And he's got a purpose and a plan for your life. So every eye is closed. If you hear this morning and you're saying, I've never given my heart to Jesus, don't you want to quickly slip up your hand? Just say, that's me. Thank you, sir. Amen. Then secondly for us, I want to this morning just say, in this atmosphere and what we've been singing, Holy Set Apart. Do you have something in your life this morning that you just want to repent of for Jesus? To Jesus. And just say, God, come and take away the sin. I want to give us that opportunity now. And it's, you know, often I wonder, God, it's actually a miracle that we can come to you and just give it to you. So in this atmosphere, I want to, with every eye closed, look to Jesus like we were in this whole morning, just in the presence of God. And in your own words, just say sorry to him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to take away that that sin, whatever it is, whether it's a thought, an action, whatever you've done, we started out this morning saying His goodness and His mercy pursues us. He loves us. He's for us. And all of us, at some point in our journey, we stumble, we fall. But God is faithful to forgive us our sins. Just give it to Him. That you this morning can walk out with a clear conscience, knowing that there's nothing in your life that's hindering you. Father, I want to pray this morning. The sin that so easily clings to us, as we give it to you now, God, would you come and wash away everything that is not of you, God. Purify our hearts, our minds, every area of our life, God. Would you come and wash us, God, like only you can, Jesus. Thank you for dying for our sins, God, for taking it upon yourself, Lord, and that we this morning can stand holy, set apart for you, God. Holy and set apart. Not of anything that we have done, but just because of you, taking it upon yourself, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage you, if you this morning saw something, share it with a friend. Share it with someone. The thing the devil wants to do is he always wants to try and keep that thing in the darkness. It's like, it's okay, you've repented of it, move on. So one more step, go share it with someone. Share it with your community leader. Share it with one of the leaders. But just share it with someone. Say, hey, this morning, I repented of kicking the cat this last week 7 times. Whatever it is. I think it's a sin. I don't want to make light of it, but seriously, share. That's the trick of the enemy. He wants us to keep our sin in darkness. Share it with someone.